You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hi, hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. Great to have you here. Well, however you're listening, however you're watching, thank you so much for joining. Please remember to subscribe, to rate us, to like, to share, and share the episode far and wide. That's how we get more and more people to be able to start transforming their deepest fears into their greatest strengths. And that's what we're going to look at today, looking at it from a slightly different perspective. Today, we're going to take a look at five reasons why you're going to keep your fear, five reasons why you're not going to let your fear go, five reasons why are you going to hold on to it? Because as much as we talk about how you can change your mind, you can change your life, you can get rid of your fears, you can completely conquer your phobias, all of which are absolutely true, there are a lot of people who, for various reasons, some of which we'll look at in a moment, are desperate to cling on to those fears, to cling on to those phobias, to hold on to them, and they will do anything to avoid letting them go. They don't do anything to avoid getting rid of them. This is even true of some people who talk about wanting to conquer their fear or their phobia. But deep down, they want to hold on to it, and they are not going to take the action they need to take to overcome that fear or phobia, which is a massive shame, because it can be got rid of very, very, very quickly. But many people cling on to it. Let's take a look at some reasons why. First reason, it's a great excuse. That may sound a little harsh, but the reality is, for many people, their fear is a very good excuse for all manner of things. I'd have got away with it if it weren't for my pesky fear. People will often use it as a great excuse, especially as an excuse for failure. Harsh, maybe, but it's realistic. You know, I've known many people who've used their fears or their phobias as a strong justification for pretty much anything that goes wrong in their life. They're using it as a cast iron excuse for not succeeding, for not moving forward, for not achieving something. Of course, the reality is that fear, that phobia, whatever it is, usually isn't responsible for them not succeeding. It's nearly always down to something else, something which is within their control. Maybe they're not trying hard enough. Maybe they're not putting enough effort into it. Maybe they're not finding out what they need to do. Maybe they kind of don't really want to do it, but they don't admit that they don't want to do it. They don't want to let other people to know that they don't want to do it. So they rely on the fear or the phobia as the crutch, as the fall guy, as the excuse. I would do that, but I can't because I'm scared of X. I would have achieved it, but, you know, it's not my fault. It's just phobia. It won't let me do it. Yes, phobias and fears can hold us back from doing many things. Yes, they can absolutely be conquered and eliminated. But they're very often used as excuses for all manner of other shortcomings and behaviors and actions. So yeah, people often use fear as an excuse for not doing anything, even though the fear isn't actually the reason why they don't succeed, it isn't actually the reason why they don't do whatever it is. But it's a great excuse, and that is why those people will do anything, often subconsciously, to cling on to that fear, because once you let go of the fear, the excuse is gone. And once you let go of the excuse, then you kind of have to stand up and take responsibility for your failures. Take responsibility for not achieving the things you were setting out to achieve. And that itself is quite scary for a lot of people. Second reason so many people cling on to their fears, it's comfort. acceptable. As absurd as it may sound, some people will cling on to their fears because of the comfort that it brings. Now, sure, having that fear will stop them from doing a great many things. Sure, it may keep them from achieving a great many things. But, you know, sometimes the path you need to follow to achieve those things, it can be quite scary, you know? It can be discomforting. It can be scary, terrifying, confusing. It can take effort. But by holding on to that fear, by living with the fear of the phobia, some people will derive some comfort from it. Stops them doing the scary things. Gives them a great get out to avoid doing those scary things. The other way in which fears are comfortable is you know how you're going to react in any given situation when you have that fear. Because you've had it for so many years. You know how you're going to react. And knowing how we're going to react to the situation is in itself a very comfortable thing. It may sound counterintuitive, but having that fear means you know how you're going to react, you know what's going to happen, and that in itself is reassuring and comfortable. I mean, it is the very definition of living within your comfort zone. Of course, the problem is, most of the good stuff is out there beyond your comfort zone. Yeah? Bit of a paradox, bit of a problem, but it can be so comfortable staying in there. Right? So that's the second reason why many people will not let go of their fear, because it's comfortable. A third reason, I've heard this one a lot from a lot of people over the years. Remember, I've been doing this stuff since 2010. Helped 5,000 people in that time to transform their deepest fears into their greatest strengths. So as you can imagine, I've come across a lot of people who are using a lot of excuses to really cling on to their fears. And one of those excuses, the third one that we're going to look at, is it's part of who I am. It's a part of me. It's just the way it is. It's just part of me. It's not. It's not. Yes, it's a way in which it's a set of behaviours that you have at the moment. That is absolutely true. Nobody's going to deny that. I'm certainly not going to deny it. It is a set of behaviours you have. But it's not you. It doesn't define who you are. It's not part of you. It's simply like a rule book that your unconscious is choosing to follow. And if you've listened to some of these other episodes, you'll know how we develop fears and how we develop phobias. If we learn through observation and direct experience, etc., and that creates our internal rule book. If you want to find out more, check out previous episodes, check out blogs where I go into where we get fears, where they come from, where phobias come from. You'll find out more about that. But it's not part of us. We're not born with them. It's not part of who we are. It's something we learn, it's something we develop. It's a set of internal rules which we have, but it's not part of who we are. We weren't born with those fears, we weren't born with those phobias, we weren't born scared of anything. Which means it's not fundamentally part of who you are. It's something that you acquired, something you developed, something you learned. And it's like saying, mathematics is part of who I am. It's not. It's something you learned. It's a skill you developed. And so it is with the fear or the phobia or whatever it is. It is actually a skill that you developed. It takes quite a bit of skill to be able to do that, to do the fear. But it's not part of who you are. It's something you developed and acquired along the way. And that has two massive implications. One, it means it is possible to change it and overcome it. And secondly, it means if you do conquer that fear or phobia, if you do overcome it, you're not changing who you are. In fact, if anything, you're opening yourself up to really explore who you are. Because when you conquer that fear, when you get rid of that thing that you've been allowing to hold you back all these years, It allows you to express the real you, the true you. The part of you that's been hidden away by this fear, that gets to come out to play. So if anything, rather than it's part of who I am, if anything, your fear is stifling, masking, hiding part of who you are. It's not letting the full real you come out to play. Interesting. I'm just going to take a look at a couple more. I'm going to keep this short. I'm just going to look at a couple more. Fourth one is that very often people can be scared of life without the fear. They can be scared of the thought of life without the fear. What? Scared of life without the fear? How on earth does that work? Well, in a way, it builds on the first couple of excuses that people have. Here's how. You see, we've looked at how having a fear can be comfortable because we know how we're going to react. We know what's going to happen. We go into the situation, we know what our fear is going to let us do, what it's not going to let us do. We know what the result is going to be. And it's comfortable knowing that. It's reassuring knowing what's going to happen. So just imagine you've had a fear for many, 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 many years. And now you've got rid of that fear. It's totally gone. And it really does happen quickly. Less than that. Sessions are usually less than that. The fastest that one of my clients has conquered the phobia was just under 10 minutes. I have to say that is the exception rather than the rule, but they can be conquered very, very quickly. So just imagine you've conquered that fear. Whatever that fear is for you, imagine you've conquered it. That opens up a whole new scary world because previously you knew how you were going to react in situations. You knew what was going to happen. But now you're in uncharted territory. Uncharted territory, that's what I was going to say. Now you're in uncharted territory. It's new. You don't know how things are going to pan out. You don't know how you are going to react. You don't know what you're going to face, what situations you're going to be in. Which means you're not going to know how to cope with those, how to deal with those, how to address those, or what to do in those. For some people, that can be fantastic, a wonderful challenge. But for some people, that realization in and of itself can be a very scary thing. And there is no doubt that for some people, that is enough to put them off letting go of that phobia. They will cling on to that phobia as a safety blanket. Cling on to that fear, because without that fear, life opens up. And we're now in it. Whole new set of situations. What can you do if you're kind of facing that? What can you do? Because on the one hand, you want to get rid of that fear, but on the other hand, that opens up a new scary world, a whole new load of fears to deal with. And that can be scary for some people to start with. That's one of the reasons that some clients go on and we have a 3-month program after they conquer their phobia, life after phobia, where we sort all this stuff out. Help you really put everything in place to have a solid life. But even if you don't go through that, what are other things you could do? And the answer is absolutely yes. Take a look at what the situations could be and plan it from your current position where you're not in that situation. So you're detached from it, so you're not experiencing the emotion. And have a look and figure out, well, what could I do? What could happen? If I wasn't scared of doing this, what would I be doing? What would I need to know in that situation? How could I handle that situation? What things might arise? And that will do two things. One, it'll force you to actually look at what could happen. Because very often these fears, the reason we're scared of getting rid of our fears, the fear that we have about life after our phobia, very often that is just because we're not really looking at it, so we're just imagining all sorts of possible things could go wrong. So by actually looking at it, actively taking a look, what you're doing is you're basically collapsing all those possibilities, and you're now actually seeing, huh, this is what's likely to happen. It could be this, this, or this. Bam. Now you've got rid of all manner of other possible scary things. And you can get a far better look at what's going to happen. That, in and of itself, can be very reassuring, because you've got rid of a lot of things that are just plain not going to happen. The second thing that happens is, now that you've got this list, you can actually start to proactively work out what you would do. And you're getting to do this from the luxury of not being in that position, of not experiencing the emotions in that position, not having the time pressures. You can do it leisurely. Do it at your own pace. Do it from the safety and comfort of where you are. And as you start to do that, so that releases your need to keep the fear you have. Because now, the thing that you could do once you get rid of the fear you have isn't as scary as it first seems. It may sound a bit bizarre. Try it. With all of these things, try it for yourself. See what happens. You see, whatever the fear that you've got is, imagine one thing you could be doing if you didn't have that fear. And work out all the things you need to do, all the possible outcomes, what you need to do, what you might encounter. Basically, how can you overcome the situation after you've overcome the fear? With me so far? Hope you're finding this interesting. Let me know what you think. Drop a comment. Get in touch. Pop comments. Let me know what you think. I'd love to read and hear from people what they find useful in this. What you think. If you've got any suggestions for future episodes, again, let me know. More than happy to take it. Right now, we're going to take a look at the fifth big reason why you're going to hold on to your fear. You just don't think it's possible to change. Yeah, I can't. I couldn't change. That's too hard. I don't know what to do. I just don't think I could change. You'd be surprised how common that belief is. And that's all it is. It's a belief. It's not a reality. Because the reality is, you can change like that. Change happens incredibly quickly. It's everything leading up to the change that can sometimes take a bit of time. But change itself is very quick. And that happens once you're in the right place, once you're ready to make the change, and once you've got the information and the guidance to make the change. And that's where I come in. I guide people through the steps to make that change, to let go of that fear, to get rid of that old failure. Now, sometimes people say, yeah, but change takes a lot of time. It can take months and months and months before that new habit and new behaviour is in place. And I'm going to disagree there. Partly because I've got over 5,000 people who have changed. But partly because, I can explain it this way. But just suppose that you drive to work and back each day. And suppose you've been doing this for 10 years. And suppose your journey takes an hour each way. 2 hours to get to work and back. You do that every day. You've done that every day, 5 days a week for the past 10 years. Just imagine that's the position you're in. Okay? And the commute, it's not particularly enjoyable. You don't really like it. It's taking time away from your busy days, taking time away that you could spend doing hobbies or hanging out with your family or friends or whatever you'd rather be doing. And it's a non-productive time. Imagine it's not productive. I mean, you can't really listen to audiobooks because you've got to focus on driving, because it's a tricky route, and traffic jams, all this sort of thing. It's a nightmare. Okay? Now, just imagine that I showed you a different route, programmed into your sat-nav, a different route that takes you 10 minutes there and 10 minutes back. So instead of 2 hours each day traveling, it's now 20 minutes. I show you that route once, okay? You go that route once. So your 2-hour commute from hell has now become a 20-minute journey, saving you an hour and 40 minutes every day, saving you eight hours, 20 minutes a week. My question to you is this. Which route are you going to take tomorrow? Which route are you going to take tomorrow? Chances are you're going to take the short route, right? Absolutely, because you're now saving time. You didn't have to take months and months and months in order for your change of route to take effect. You didn't have to take months and months and months for this new behaviour to start to take effect. You did it straight away. It's like, wow, I can do it this way. I don't have to go through all of that. Ugh. I can do this quickly, get it over and done with, get through, and I've got more time to do the things I really want to do. Change is always possible. And it can happen in an instant. In fact, it does happen in an instant. Change is instantaneous. Change can happen fast. And when you change your mind, quite literally, change your mind. That's what it's all about. Some people think, oh, it's not possible to change. Yes, you can absolutely change. And it is true no matter what the fear or phobia you have that's holding you back. It's absolutely possible to let that go. What it's about is, think of me as your sat nav. Hey, we're back to the driving analogies. They work. Think of me as your sat nav. Program in the destination, freedom from phobia. I guide you on your journey. You follow the directions, and you arrive free from that phobia. I don't make you do anything. Can't make you do anything. You've always got free will. I mean, you could say, if your sat nav says, take the next turning on the left, you could go, ha, I'm going to turn right now. Yeah, see, I got free will. Yay, go me. Wait, why am I not getting closer to my destination? Huh. Whereas when you follow the sat nav, just follow its direction, follow its guidance, you arrive where you want to arrive. That's a beautiful place. That's a beautiful thing to do. So yes, you absolutely can change. In fact, some would say change is the only constant. We're always changing. The physical level, mental level, environmental level, always changing. So yes, you can change. With the right guidance, with the right directions, with the right sat-nav, following the directions to the chosen destination, freedom from phobia, you can absolutely change. So that's five key reasons why you're going to hold on to your phobia. You're going to hold on to your fear. At least that's five key reasons that most people hold on to those. It's a great excuse. It's comfortable. It's part of who I am. It's life without them is scary. You just think it's possible to change. Which is the one that's holding you back from making the change? Which is the one that's holding you back from getting rid of your fears and letting them go? Another one, it's just something to ponder. Maybe drop me a line and let me know. Let's have a chat. Anyway, that's it for this episode. Hope you found this useful. As always, let me know. Please like, comment, subscribe, share the episode, however you found it, wherever you found it. That will really help me. To be honest about it, if you subscribe, or like it, or share it, or give a good review, it helps more people to find it, which means I get to share the word with even more people. Would you do that for me, please? That would be fantastic. And meanwhile, I will catch you in the next episode. Until then, remember, change is always possible. And when you change your mind, you change your life.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. To find out more, please visit keithblakemorenoble.com.